Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR. We're joined by Andrew McCreath, Chief Executive Officer and the Chief Investment Officer at Forge First Asset Management. We on the last segment, Andrew, you did a great job of talking about inflation. When we inject uncertainty into the system, into the forward forecast, we invariably get volatility in the markets. And so if we can maybe shift gears just slightly, talking about the aspects of inflation or perhaps the Fed path of interest rate increase, so on and so forth, I'm very interested to get your take on what is 2022 shaping up to look like? What do we have to keep our eyes on as investors? And then how are we to position that? Again, volatility presents opportunity, but it also certainly scares some people to death. There you go. There's the whole thing thrown right at you. What are you going to do with that mess of questions?
Well, thanks for the question, David. And of course, the key to the price of any asset is liquidity. Is there enough money supply floating around the system to cause 2, 3, 4, or 10 investors to want to buy that house or that stock? Or there's not enough and there's only one buyer, and therefore the buyer has control of the pricing much more than the seller. Over the last few years, the printing of money by central banks around the world has lifted all asset prices, whether it's stocks, bonds, real estate, right across the board. And I think that the ringing of the bell that we had reached the peak of monetary policy accommodation, let's say last Labor Day of 2021, meant that we are now gradually moving into a different investment climate. Now, earlier this past week, investors, you gentlemen will have noticed, because I'm well aware of how astute you are as financial advisors for your clients in delivering your solutions that are unique to the needs of the individual client. I know that since I've had the pleasure of working with you for several years, and I should say getting drilled by you with your insightful questions. So I know what you're talking about. I know that you know what you're talking about. But all joking aside, when one looks at what has gone on here, last week there were, on one day, there was 1.6 trillion US dollars of what are referred to as reverse repo agreements. And we don't need to get into the weeds on defining that, but suffice it to say, it is symbolic of the fact that there continues to be a lot of liquidity in the system. So financial assets are okay for now, shall we say, but the central banks have told you they're going to start to reduce liquidity. And when there's a reduction in liquidity, there typically is less trading. And when there's less trading, that means the spread between the bid and the ask of any asset increases. Because as I said earlier, what might have been 10 buyers for one asset now shrinks to 2 or maybe even 1 buyer. And so the bid-ask increases. And when the bid-ask spread increases, volatility increases also. Now, the idea of whether Faisal's right or you're right, David, I must admit, I'm a little more in your camp, because what we do for a living is we go out and buy and hold for long-term, free cash flowing businesses. We're not fast money trader types, shall we say. My big nightmare is waking up one morning and having the market up or down 15%, because you can't do anything. You're trapped.
Right.
I think 2022 is going to be a year where, especially in the latter part of the year, when the reduction of liquidity begins to have a larger and larger impact, I think markets are going to get a little bit rougher. And whether, you know, how rough they get, I think is going to be partially a function of whether or not these wage hikes validate higher inflation for longer, and therefore central banks have to be even more aggressive at reducing liquidity and increasing interest rates. Now, let's just say that inflation hangs around long enough that central banks do hike rates, 2, 3 times next year. What does that mean for investors? Well, first and foremost, investors are going to read a lot of material in the popular press that, hey, when the central banks start to increase interest rates, that's good for stocks. Okay, so why has that happened in the past? That's happened in the past because they're coming out of a bottom, the economy is getting better, and they start to increase interest rates. History rhymes, but it doesn't repeat. this cycle is like no cycle ever before. One, because of course, 20 years ago, we didn't even know what the word technology meant, let alone technology dominating our society today. Point number two, unprecedented amount of fiscal stimulus, which has left all governments with record amounts of debt. We all know that in the private sector in Canada, the debt ratio was up to 177% debt to income, I believe the numerator is. And when one looks at taxes and interest rates are about the lowest they've ever been, and there's only one way going forward. And then last but not least, there's demographics. So this cycle is not like last cycles. And so I would suggest that your listeners read those articles that will mostly be written by strategists who work for investment dealers because they're trying to encourage their investors to go out and buy stocks. I would say, with a contrary perspective, this is the time an investor needs active management. They need active advice. The last few years, a rising tide has lifted all boats. We've left that period. That's not going to be the case anymore. You can't buy ETFs and make money. You need active advice. And again, I want to make a pitch for you two guys because you guys, you know your stuff. I've worked with you for years. I know that you look at your clients' needs with a holistic approach. Not all clients are the same. Anyway, enough of the pitch for you guys, right? Bottom line is, there's stuff that you want to own and there's stuff that you don't want to own if, in fact, this inflation sticks around for a little while, gentlemen.
So, Andrew, let's kind of touch on that. You and I both have strategies on building a shopping list. You are in the fortunate position to pick a shopping list of things that you like, free cash flow, moving in a positive direction. You also have the opportunity to go against the ones that are not building free cash flow on the shorting side of the portfolio. Where's the opportunity for 2022? Where is the risk when you look at the opportunities of all, let's say, stock market, North America, let's kind of narrow it down for you. Where do you see the biggest opportunity at this point?
Well, first and foremost, I would say that 2021 was one of the most difficult years during my 35-year investment career of managing a long-short portfolio. Because there was a lot of bad stuff going on, yet with the Federal Reserve continuing to print, you couldn't short a lot of stuff. You had to be long. Now, as the central bankers start to reduce liquidity, I think the markets begin to change. I think there will be growing opportunities to short stocks, as opposed to just being long and hoping markets don't go down. However, when one looks at what to stay away from, I do have a shopping list of what to avoid and what to own. First and foremost, investors have to accept the fact that they're likely going to make less money in 2022 and 2023 and probably 2024 than they've made in each of the last few years. And consequently, when the return potential is lower, that means you have to focus on risk management that much more. It's one thing losing 1% or 2% when you make 10 or 12. It's another thing to lose 1 or 2% when you're only making 5. So that's point number one. Point number two, I think it's important to understand that rising interest rates, whether it's because the central banks are reducing liquidity or because they're having to hike interest rates because of inflation, are bad for the valuation of any asset, stocks, bonds, or real estate. So when you look at the price of a stock, of course, it's, what do they earn? And it's a price earnings multiple that you put on each dollar of earnings. That multiple will come down. And so consequently, you need to own companies that have a growth in their earnings and cash flow profile, as opposed to companies that are, a hope and a concept. Those stocks will continue to get crushed. I also believe fixed income securities that pay a fixed coupon, like a government bond, they will not be good investments either. Companies with a lot of financial leverage, those companies will tend to do poorly on a relative basis, absolutely, and likely on an absolute basis. So that's what to avoid. And of course, implicit in my remarks is expensive stocks. What to own? Well, I believe you want to own companies that have pricing power. I believe you want to own what you and I know as our GARP stocks, growth at reasonable prices. If I've got a company that trades at 11 times earnings and it's generating 8 to 10% earnings growth and it's got a decent balance sheet, it ain't sexy, but that's the kind of company, that's one type of company that will do well in the environment we're moving into. When it comes to out and out inflation protection, I believe that oil and copper are likely the best ways to hedge inflation, and it ultimately has to do with supply and demand. In my opinion, the supply and demand metrics for oil and copper are both quite constructive, even in today's markets, Fadel.
So we kind of have to go leave it there and go to commercial break. But Andrew, that's some great information on the risks, the opportunities, what to watch out for. Because yep. I think that gives the listeners a bit more information. So wanted to thank you for that. We've been joined by Andrew McCreath, CEO, CIO, Forge First Asset Management. And it's not just the investment piece that mandates your retirement. There are a whole bunch of other concerns. Take a look at tax. Take a look at healthcare costs going up. There's a whole bunch of things you have to watch out for. So how do you bulletproof that retirement? We're going to discuss that at our next webinar on Tuesday, January 18th, 7 p.m., live online. You need to register for this. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com.
All right, stick around after the break. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.